October Yachting Monthly. Season of mists and mellow fruitfulness and marinas. The issue arises once again of where the dear boat is to rest its weary keel this winter. We've never had a permanent home berth, although we once had a lethal fore and aft mooring on the Hamble, which everybody crashed into, and for several contented years more recently we based ourselves in Brixham. Not tremendously handy for Suffolk, but then we never do seem to do quick weekend jaunts. So it has been our habit to leave the boat at the end of the season in a series of different places. If there is work to be done, it has to be near home. We once had the Rummer Yawl propped up in the farmyard, an object of massive curiosity and, indeed, rivalry to pigs and cows in nearby pens. But if all is well, we've tended to leave her wherever we next might want her. It's been a strangely enriching experience and a lesson in learning to trust. And overall, I have to say, the yacht-minding community comes out as one of the best and purest of heart you could ever want to meet. The Rummer's most exotic winter was spent under the care of Tommy Duncan in Lerwick in Shetland. We have a photo of him in his full Upheliar Viking costume with the boat, and we know for a fact that he went out in violent gales on Boxing Day to check that the cradle was safe. When we got back, people said, "Ah, yes, you're the people sailing Tommy's boat," which was testimony to his loving foster care. Similarly, last winter in Halifax, the boat was coddled like a baby amid the Nova Scotia ice floes and emerged pristine, having been wrapped at remarkably low cost in some sort of cling film and surrounded by anti-ice bubbles. Before that, at the end of the Austar year, we left her in the most romantic of settings, right under the railway line in Mystic, Connecticut, downstream from the Maritime Museum. The trains from Penn Station miles to the south would hoot and wail like the Chattanooga choo-choo. The bridge would open and shut, and the occasional dramatic little lineside fire enlivened the experience for all. Again, Aisha emerged in excellent condition, just as Grace O'Malley once did, after a rustic winter propped up in the corner of a meadow in West Cork. There are examples of touching trustfulness on both sides of these deals. Once, leaving her halfway up the IJmuiden to Amsterdam Canal for a few weeks owing to repulsive North Sea weather, we offered the owner of the little marina some kind of deposit on the old Rustler. He laughed at us. "Half your ship," he said, and added placidly, "and my brother is the bridge keeper." You see, we couldn't have done a moonlight flit without full family approval. On the other hand, we had to show trust ourselves when we decided to do the Brittany Canal one year, and the mast had to come out. In St. Malo, a whistling monoglot Frenchman, known to us only as Jean-Paul, and a mobile phone number, whipped the mast out of Grace O'Malley and assured us with vague shrugs that it would turn up in Arzal before we got there in the Vacances de Pâques, provided that the camion was going that way some time. We half expected the mast would end up as a five-barred gate somewhere in La France Profonde, but it turned up on cue undamaged and was briskly installed by another shrugging chap with a Gauloise dangling from his lip. All the French that Paul needed was, "Ça va? Oui, ça va, merci." There are, of course, snags. One is the utter devotion of some small boatyards to anything pretty. We once asked a yard to put a coat of paint on the wooden rummer. "She's so lovely," said the manager mistily in spring. "We felt we should take it right back to the wood and do five coats." The boat looked lovely, the bill did not. But there was such a quaver of devotion in his voice that we hadn't the nerve to protest. It was like that moment when your child comes back from playing at a supermum's house with the hole in his shorts neatly darned. But on the whole, all the foster parents of our boats have won our gratitude. And I would rather be somewhere loving and eccentric than in the vast, jangling marina of La Trinité, where another winter passed. We never saw anyone at all, not anyone, let alone in a Viking suit. We tied up, rang in, paid a bill by credit card from the UK months later, and then sailed away. Where's the fun in that?